అనందకోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్యశీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్ కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి మధురపురి ధామ్ కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి ఓ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమో విష్ణు ప్రదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలి శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుమిళితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలి స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాదిం సమదాందియం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుధాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాదం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుస్తుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వంచకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధూభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణ మునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధనామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం నమోస్తుతే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయ తమత్ర నేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణం ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకపాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధాగోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుతం దేవం కంసచానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రథ జల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నది కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానగకేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాభూదిదం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః పేవీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంగజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యబ్రహ్మావరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదైర్ సంగపదైర్ క్రమోపనిషదైర్ గాయందియం సమగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యందియం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీమతి రాధికాయ నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద సో when we spoke about the universal form of Krishna last Sunday, we saw that how the universal form, the progression of the universal form, how it happened to how Arjuna experienced the universal form in a progressive way. The first time Arjuna recognizes and says to Krishna that my illusion has gone and now I'm ready, but I would like to see that form of yours if I'm qualified to see it. After hearing the vibhutis, that is what all the opulences of Krishna, this is how Arjuna felt. that if I am qualified, please show them to me. And that is the first four verses starting from Madanugrahaya Paramam onwards. Then Sri Bhagavan Vaja, Krishna says that Shame Partha Rubani Shatashoda Sahasrasha. Krishna, start revealing that form for Arjuna to see. That's what we were discussing. Arjuna started slowly realizing that form within himself. And at the end of that, Krishna says, in order to completely comprehend this vision of my universal form, you need that special mercy. what Krishna says there is that drishtum ichhami de rupam paishwaram purushottama manyase yadi tachakyam maya drishtum idi prabho yogeshwara tato metum darshayatmanam avyayam. And then at the end Krishna says there to Arjuna that I will give you that special vision so that you can see me. This is an important step in this universal form, because in order to show to us that this is not something which anyone can easily see. This universal form of Krishna is not something which anyone can easily see. In many instances in the Mahabharatam and Bhagavatam, you will find Krishna has shown this universal form to different devotees. To Mother Yashoda, twice Krishna has shown. You can read it in the Bhagavatam, in the early chapters. First time when Krishna was lying on Yashoda Devi's lap before Tranavarta was killed. Before that pastime, Krishna showed the universal form to Yashoda Devi. Yashoda Devi got completely perplexed by seeing that. And Krishna brought her back to the normal condition again. That is the special mercy of Krishna, that he can take us to whichever state of existence we need to go. Just like even our day-to-day life, if you look at the way we move from one state of existence to another. From Jagrat to Swapnam, Swapnam to Sushupti, Sushupti to Jagrat, Jagrat to Swapnam. Like this, three states of existence in us, we have no control on it. At no time we have any control on it. Who is taking us in all these three states? And who is bringing us back to Jagrat in the morning when we wake up? In the deep sleep at night, we are not even aware where we are going to. Do we? We don't know where we are going, but we sleep, and when thinking that we'll get up in the morning, there is no guarantee that we have to get up in the morning. But somebody is bringing us back to here, to this waking state again, and all the things what has been the day before, whatever activities were going on, the continuation goes on from there. The thoughts comes back to us, oh, I have committed this to that person, or I had to go to work at this morning at this time. And so many other material activities, whatever we have thought over before and made decisions, that thing continue again. And foolishly, none of us think at that time, who brought me back here to this state of consciousness again. So, if this can happen in our day-to-day life, where is the difficulty in understanding this? That unless Krishna takes us, we are not going to see it. That's the truth. And that's what has happened to Yashoda Devi also. Yashoda Devi, Krishna took Yashoda Devi to that state and showed in the mouth everything. What Yashoda Devi saw that and started completely perplexed by that and brought her back again to the normal conditions. And that is Krishna. Similarly, again, second time, Krishna did the same thing to Yashoda Devi, but this time in a different way. All the brothers, that is later on in the 10th canto, all the friends, cowherd boys, complained to Mother Yashoda that Krishna has eaten mud. And that was the complaint. So everyone was cross-examined, Balram was questioned, and nobody gave anything very supportive. All of them more or less gave a supportive evidence to prove that Krishna has eaten mud. And Yashoda Devi ultimately had no choice except to ask Krishna to open the mouth. And when Krishna opened the mouth, what did Yashoda see? Everything. Everything she saw. And there was nothing what was left out. And again, she had to be brought back into this, to the normal consciousness. Normal means this state of Maya. So how did Krishna do that? Krishna says to Mother Yashoda, I'm feeling hungry, give me some milk to drink. And immediately Yashoda took hold of Krishna, embraced him and hugged him and started feeding the milk to Krishna. So how can one experience these things unless one has the mercy of Krishna? It's Krishna who taking us everywhere. If Krishna is, who is taking us everywhere. And so this universal form, when you see and study this, you must keep this in your mind, that my own effort is not that reveals the universal form to him. It is my attachment and love for Krishna. That if I want to see universal form, in that way we have to approach to Krishna, like Mother Yashoda did. In another situation, in the Mahabharata war, you will notice Krishna has showed the universal form to somebody else, to Dhritarashtra. And to Dhritarashtra, who was blind, Krishna decided Dhritarashtra should see me, who I am. When he went to the assembly of the Kauravas and in the major assembly in Hastinapur to negotiate about the war, prior to the war, Krishna went there to negotiate, so that there could be a peace initiative, you can say, from the Krishna side. On behalf of Pandavas, Krishna went there. So when he went there, the response was not very good. And not only that, Duryodhana decided to insult Krishna and speaking in a very rude tone, not only accepting Krishna's position as a Supreme Personality, that is, leave that behind, but to the extent of insulting way, Duryodhana started speaking to Krishna and joined by Dushasana. So at that time, Krishna decided that let them also have my universal form, a bit of that, let them also have a taste of it. So Dhritarashtra saw the blind person, he saw, Duryodhana saw, and Dushasana also saw, Bhishma saw, Drona saw, and Vidura saw. They all had a vision of that universal form. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita that exactly it was not the same universal form what was shown to Arjuna. So in other words, this universal form is so unlimited, and whichever Krishna wants that to be there, will be there in that vision. This is what is called the drishti of the seer. The person who is seeing, his drishti is changed. It is the, all the great sages have that drishti, that vision, they have that. That's how they are able to communicate with the Supreme Personality all the time. Durvasa Muni, Asishta, and Angiras, all of them had this, that they have crossed these three states. We are within these three states all the time. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. We are unable to escape from that. That's why many things in this creation is unknown to us. Why? Because within these states you cannot know it. This is particularly, you can notice in the Bhagavatam, this particular point. Especially in the fifth canto. If you read the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, more or less, it is a beautiful canto in the Bhagavatam, because for those who are who are doubtful about the authenticity of Bhagavatam, they should read this fifth canto. Fifth canto of Bhagavatam, they should read. Why? Because it is in the fifth canto, this train of Srimad Bhagavatam with 12 coaches. As I said before, it's like a train. You get jump into any of the coach, you will get there to Vaikuntha. That's where the train stops at the end. Bhagavatam is like that. So if you enter into the fifth coach, that is the interesting coach there, because that journey is very interesting compared to all the other journeys. The canto 5 journey. Where all do you go? Sri Shukan is taking us, Sukadeva Goswami is driving the special train. And the train is going from one varsham to another varsham. Badrashvam, Ketumala, Harivarsham, Kim Purusham. And eventually comes to Bharatavarsham. That's the last varsham Sukadeva Goswami talks about. Now, why is all these things in the Bhagavatam? What is the reason for that? What is the reason for presenting all these important places which are unknown to us? And it is so hard to understand often, where does all this exist, isn't it? This question will come. Now, the reason is this, why this is included in the Bhagavatam is this. In the process of jnanam and karmam and yogam, the process is to go inwards. In other words, closing the senses to the external world, that is jnanamargam, isn't it? Jnanamargam means what? Purely refusing to accept anything that is coming to us from the material world or the external knowledge of this world. Closing down all the senses. senses of knowledge and senses of action. That is closed down. Why is it closed down? Because that knowledge is mundane and doesn't help in self-realization. That's what the Jnani does. Jnani closes all the windows, isn't it? Jnani closes all the windows and he holds on to the Shastram very strongly. That is the Jnanamargam. What does Yogi do? Ashtanga Yogam, one who is practicing, what do they do? Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi. The eight processes. What do they do there? Exactly the same thing, but in a different way. Controlling the breath, Pranayamam. Following the principles of Yamam and Niyamam. Controlling the mind, controlling the senses and things like that. Shamam, Dhamam, all these things. So Ashtanga Yogam, what Patanjali Muni discussed, is also a process where you don't allow the mind to go out. You don't allow the mind to go out. Jnanamargam also does the same thing. They don't allow the mind to go out. Because this mind is the whole problem. That is what is disturbing us all the time. Not able to hold on to Krishna. What is holding us? Not allowing us to go to Krishna. Often you will find devotees also saying the same. Oh, I am chanting, but my mind was somewhere else. I've been chanting, and before you know, the 16 rounds are finished, and only then you came to know the 16th round is over, because all these 16 rounds he was in another world altogether. So the problem is the same. The mind is not coming under control. That is everybody's problem. Anyone who has taken the spiritual life will have this problem from beginning for a long, long time. But we all know that we are not allowed to chant like that. That's why the chanting is not making any progress, because of this absorption in the Maya, in Maya's world. Jobs, family life, social life, different things will come in. World Cup, that can also come in between. So you may be chanting in the morning and you may be thinking about how to switch on the TV in the evening to watch this particular match. This can also happen like that. So the mind is the whole problem. But in the bhakti process, there is a little difference. Instead of closing down all the windows, our windows means senses of knowledge and senses of action, bhakti margam sees Krishna everywhere, in everything. How do you see them? See them through the sage's eye. Like Sudeva Goswami is taking us to all these places in this creation, particularly within the universe. He is talking about all these things. Everything is within the universe. All the different places the train is going. And Sudeva Goswami gives you a brief introduction of what is going on there, what spiritual activity is going on there. He's not talking anything about the material side. He's talking about what the spiritual activity is going on. What is going on in Harivarsham? Narasimhamurti is worshipped by Prahlad Maharaj and all the associates singing the glories of Narasimhamurti. Apart from that, there is certain important messages in that prayers. We will not go too much into it today, because that whole fifth canto, if you start discussing like that, it will take a long, long time. But in principle, this is what we have to understand, that the each varsham, wherever Sudeva Goswami is driving the train, we go there, train stops. Sudeva Goswami comes out and tells us, come down and watch this, what's going on in this place. Kim Purusham, Ilavradam, Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati worshipping their Sankarsana Murti. The process of worship, the songs of worship, the bhajanas what they were singing, and what happens anyone who goes to that particular Ilavrada Varsham. All that is discussed. Very, very important messages in all of them. Then Kimpurusha Varsham, Lord Ramachandra is worshipped by Hanumanji along with Sita Devi and all the other associates. Like this, nine different Varshams are discussed in the fifth canto. And each Varsham, it has its own beauty, what worship is going on there. And Sudeva Goswami is seeing all these things when he is talking to Parikshit. That is the beauty of it. How is he seeing that? If he is within Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, he won't see that. He won't see these things within these three states. In other words, when Bhagavatam was spoken, he was in Samadhi, the fourth state, beyond this. In other words, the Jnana Drishti or the vision or that particular eye inside has opened for him at that time, and he is seeing all these things existing. And he is reporting as like a reporter from the battlefield. He is reporting from different verses what he is seeing to Parikshit, who was sitting in front of him. That is what that fifth canto is all about. And the reason for that is, for a devotee, important thing to say is this: who is worshipped, where he is worshipped, how he is worshipped, by whom he is worshipped. All these things. And that brings happiness to the devotee's heart. Devotee gets enthused by that. So the devotional process or Krishna consciousness beauty is this: that unlike a jnani or a yogi, you don't have to shut the windows. You don't have to completely shut the windows, because shutting windows won't work. Even if you shut it, it will get open. Or like we say, that if you close the windows, the mind will tell you to the sense objects, look, all the windows are closed, I can't come to you now. Mind will say this. At that time, the sense objects will tell to the mind, look, you can't come to us, but we will come to you. What is the problem? So either way, whether you shut or not the windows, still it is very difficult to keep the mind out of control. And when not only that, in that fifth canto, when Krishna is taking, Sudeva Goswami is taking us around, so many important things he mentions there. The limits of this universe, the Lokaloka Parvatam, the Lokaloka mountains, he talks about that in detail. What this Lokaloka mountain is, the ultimate limit of this universe. It is within this that these activities are going on. Krishna took Arjuna once to Vaikuntham. You know that story in the Bhagavatam. Going to Vaikuntha with Krishna is not a bad thing. If you can travel with him as a friend together. So Arjuna had that great opportunity. But Krishna was very clever that he would not allow Arjuna to see the route. He made sure Arjuna wouldn't know the route. You can see in the Bhagavatam it is there. That along the surrounding the Lokaloka mountains, it's complete darkness. Completely dark it is. You cannot go through, you cannot know the route. It is covered in darkness. Around the, so within that, this universe, we have the sun, we have all the stars, and we have all the great mountains and the space. In this, we are playing this all activities, what we are performing, thinking that this is the whole creation. So when it came to the story of the Brahmana's children who were taken away by Mahavishnu to the Vaikuntha planet, we discussed this story before, that Arjuna had gone around looking for him everywhere, looking for them everywhere, couldn't find. And eventually he wanted to give up his body by jumping into the fire, and Krishna decided to save him and decided to take Arjuna to show them where the children are, the 10 children of the Brahmana. So when they were going, they were traveling in the chariot. Krishna was driving the chariot, Arjuna was there. As soon as they reached the Lokaloka mountain, they entered into the darkness. And deliberately, Krishna did not provide any lamp for Arjuna. In the darkness, the chariot was going. And Krishna has his own, generator power system in his chariot. The Sudarshana wheel, if Krishna wants that, it will show the route properly with enough lighting for Krishna to travel. So Krishna didn't provide any light for Arjuna to travel. After some time, Arjuna started thinking it is darkness and was getting thinking that where are we going? Arjuna was getting a little bit like a tunnel you enter, and you don't seem to have a tunnel which has no end at all. So suddenly Krishna realized that Arjuna was getting a little bit uncertain about his journey. Then he touched Krishna and asked him, where are we going now? So it was then that Krishna brought the light into Arjuna's vision. Even if it is Arjuna, when it comes to Vaikuntha and all that, Krishna will keep a little reservation there. You don't just let anyone and everyone come freely like that to Vaikuntha. That's also there. In the Bhagavatam, it is very clear that with Arjuna, that's what Krishna has done. And then they entered into Vaikuntham, which was a different world. Arjuna has seen what was going on in Vaikuntham. Similarly, while bringing back also from Vaikuntham, Krishna has done the same thing to Arjuna. Arjuna could never know which is the route so that he could go on his own anytime. So that was stopped there. So like this, in the Bhagavatam, you will notice that Sri Sukadeva Goswami is seeing things out of his special vision, Jnana Drishti, as it's called, and he is reporting all that to Parikshit Maharaj. Exactly like, and Parikshit was experiencing that through the eyes of Sudeva Goswami, Parikshit was
experiencing this, what was spoken to him by Sudev Goswami in the fifth canto. So it is nice to sit sometime and read through that different places where Sudev Goswami is taking us along with him, travel with him and enjoy those places. Without going anywhere, you can sit at home, take Srimad Bhagavatam and read fifth canto and realize that what exists beyond this, our so-called places, what we know. What do we know? After some time we get fed up with all the holiday places, what's been offered to us by the holiday companies, isn't it? It's the same thing again, Florida and, and Tenerife, and it's all the same. There is not much of a difference. So you got to go to the same places, do the same things and come back. This is what is on offer. But look at fifth canto, it's much better holiday offer than anywhere else. It's a much better brochure, prepared much better. And all those, if you can think through your mind, Sudev Goswami is telling us so many important things for our understanding, that the spirit soul, when it leaves the body, what a wide opportunity it has got to travel. So much to go through, and you are alone on your own at that time. This is the beauty of that. And the experiences of the discussion and description of the whole universe, what has been discussed there by Sudev Goswami, is beyond our imagination. Beyond our imagination. This is the beauty of that Jnana Drishti, what Sudev Goswami had. So anyway, I was only saying this to tell you that this universal form, we should understand in that way. Exactly like Sudev reported to Parikshit Maharaj. Sudev Goswami reported the Srimad Bhagavatam, the fifth canto of the structure of the universe. Similarly, Krishna's description of Krishna's universal form is very similar to that. And what else we have to say? There, so we were discussing this, that Arjuna, Krishna gave that Divyam Dadami De Chakshu. I give you that special vision so that you can see all these things. Just like Divyam Dadami De Chakshu, that special vision is necessary, and that can only come from Krishna. Pashyame Yoga Maheshwaram. And after seeing that, so Sanjaya says there to Dhritarashtra, Eva Muktva Tado Rajan Mahayogeshwaro Hari. Krishna's yogic power is unlimited. Yogeshwara he is called. And at the end of Bhagavad Gita, you will notice, Sanjaya says, Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna Yatra Partho Dhanurdhana. Wherever Krishna, the Yogeshwara, the greatest of all the yogis, is there is no failure. At that time, there is no failure. This is what the conclusion is. No failure. Nothing can go wrong when Krishna is present and Krishna makes the decisions. Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna. So, Mahayogeshwaro Hari is here. Sanjaya is reminding Dhritarashtra that you are playing with fire. In other words, don't try to think that even in your dreams that Dhritarashtra is thinking that, well, Duryodhana may win the war with Bhishma and Drona and Karna and all that, that you can give up that idea. That is why Sanjaya has reminded. He has done his duty to Dhritarashtra, gave him the right advice, which way to go. What more can he do? What more can he do? Blind man, Dhritarashtra could not see. He couldn't see. He was not only blind, his that strong attachment for his son, eldest son, was driving him in the wrong direction. In fact, Bhagavad Gita has been spoken with one intention, that this Bhagavad Gita has a relationship with us. Like I mentioned to you in the beginning, all the Upanishads are saying this, that the that this material body is nothing but a chariot. Material body is a chariot. Atmanam rathanam iti shariram ratham evaja. And we are the passenger of the chariot. So you have to keep these things in mind when you study Bhagavad Gita. So why these things are spoken? Because we are not much different than Dhritarashtra in many ways. Exactly what Dhritarashtra is like, we are also like that. What is that? The blindness in not knowing Krishna's position. This is our problem. What Dhritarashtra, even after spoken so much by the by Sanjaya and directly reporting to him, and said, and he could not still take the firm stand against Duryodhana and do what was necessary. And not knowing that whom he was offending, not realizing that. So All this is in order to wake us up, to bring us up also on board with Bhagavad Gita, to bring us back on board with Bhagavad Gita, to tell us that, to take life seriously in Krishna consciousness, to understand that we are also like Dhritarashtra. In consciousness, we are not much different than Dhritarashtra. And Arjuna also was like Dhritarashtra in the beginning. But Arjuna says that, but later on I will come to that. How Arjuna realized that he was also like Dhritarashtra. And how that understanding has changed. And when that understanding changed, what Arjuna spoke. All these things we will see now. So, Arjuna spoke Sanjaya spoke to Dhritarashtra like that, and immediately after that, Arjuna started experiencing this universal form. Pashyami devam stava deva dehe sarvam sada bhuda vishesha sanghan onwards, that verse onwards. Brahmanam isham kamala asanastam shimja sarvan vegam chanivyan. And then Arjuna is seeing, that is what we were discussing last Sunday. So at the end what happened, 17 verses or so, Arjuna has spoken about what he has seen. And what all he has experienced in a very touching manner, in a very effective manner, Arjuna spoke about this to Krishna. And then Shri Bhagavan Vaja, Krishna is answering to that. Because all this time Arjuna was speaking for a long time. And now Krishna realized that he should step in now, because Arjuna was going, Arjuna was losing his own control, all the excitement he had by seeing that form, universal form, and the excitement he had, and also the trembling with fear. The person who started Bhagavad Gita in the beginning, oh, I have such a responsibility to fight this war and kill Bhishma, Drona and all that, that person is now sitting in the chariot and shaking with fear. And so this is the state where we are today. This is where we have reached last Sunday. So let's continue from that. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. What did Krishna say? Kalosmi loga kshayagal pravardha logan samahartam iha pravartaha hrde evitvanna bhavishyanti sarve evastida pratyanige shiyodhaha. There, the first verse itself, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, verse is 32. Kalosmi loga kshayagal pravardhaha. Kalam means time. Remember this, what we discussed before. Time runs after Krishna. We run after the time. Isn't it? Krishna, time cannot catch Krishna. Why? Time is under Krishna's control. That is that Kalayavana story, we are talking about it. Kalayavanam, Krishna brought time and burned him there. Time is under Krishna's thorough control. Krishna has complete thorough control on time. That time will stop if Krishna wants time to stop. What about our situation? Our situation, 24 hours throughout life under time's control. Isn't it? We have no freedom to do anything outside the time. So Krishna says, that's how I control all of you, all the living entities. Kalosmi loga kshayagal pravurdaha logan samahartum iha pravurtaha hrde vithvam na bhavishyanti sarve evastita pratyanigyoshi yodhaha. All these soldiers, what do you see here? Krishna says, you have told me in the beginning you have a great responsibility to killing all these people. Krishna says, don't worry about that. That's already been taken care of. I have already finished them. Because my think all the time, through that medium of time, I control them. I took them all. I've taken them. In the next verse is much more important, because when you analyze these verses, you will recognize our relationship with Krishna and what our duty is. That's the beauty of these verses. What duty have we got? We have got only one duty. That is to please Krishna. Nothing else in this world. Everything else in this world is secondary. Pleasing Krishna is the only business in this world. If that's not done, this human body is, as Krishna said himself in the Bhagavadam, you have committed suicide in this life. You have lost that chance. That's what Krishna says. That it is such an important. And this universal form can give us that understanding a little bit more deeper. So here what happened was that that in the form of time, I take away their life. In the form of time, I take away their life. And next verse, Krishna says, Tasmattvam uttishtaya sholabhasva jitva shatrun pungshase jitva shantrun vungshirajyam samardham maye veden hira puramevam nimittamatram bhavasavyasachin. Tasmattvam uttishtaya sholabhasva Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, if you want to get some credit or some fame in this war, this is an opportunity, I'll give it to you. I'll give this to you. Because if that's the case, wake up now. Get up from this seat and start doing something about it, if you want it. But whether you help me or don't help me, it doesn't matter. Whether you want to fight the war or don't fight the war, it doesn't matter. Why? Because in the beginning, if you remember, Arjuna told Krishna, please pull the chariot into the middle of the battlefield, isn't it? The middle of the army. How did he say? Arjuna vacha. Senayor ubhayor madhye ratham sthapayam achyuta. Bring the chariot in between the two armies and park it there. And then, yavadedan niriksheham yodhugaman avasthidan. Who are all come here to fight with me? Let me have a look at them properly. Arjuna is saying to Krishna, yodhugaman niriksheham yavadedan niriksheham yodhugaman avasthidan. Who are prepared and who wants to fight with me? He says. And then lastly he says, kairmaya saha yodhavyam asmin rana samudhyame. Rana samudhyame means one who is actually planning to fight this war. To me, let me have a proper view of all these people. At this time, Arjuna's mind is wavering a bit, whether to fight or not to fight. This was Arjuna's mood at that time. But what Arjuna did not know at that time was what was Krishna was doing. What Krishna was doing was not known to anybody there, what Krishna was doing. Only one person knew that. And he has confirmed that later on when he met Krishna while leaving his body. That was Bhishma. What did he say? He said to Krishna, when you park that chariot in the middle of the army, and when Arjuna wanted you to introduce everyone in official level to Arjuna, who is what, who standing, all that there. You did one thing, he says to Krishna. What was that? With one eye, he will look at anybody, anyone. And then with the other eye, he will pass it on his life, his strength, his energy, everything what he had to Arjuna. Take it from here with one eye and give it with the other eye to Arjuna. This is what you have done there. That's all, nothing else. This is our position in this world. This is our position in this world. That what we have to remember is that senayor ubhayor madhye, Arjuna was thinking in his own way that he is the one who is going to do it, isn't it? And Krishna is with me, so with Krishna's support, he will give me the assistance what I need. That's what he saw. It was not only assisting there going on. Actually, Krishna was running the war, Arjuna was assisting. It was the other way. That is what was actually happening there. With one eye, Krishna pulled out everyone's lifespan, whatever life they had, their strength, and passed it on to Arjuna. And they all have become useless. They couldn't do anything after that. Their intelligence is gone. They couldn't function properly. In other words, this is Krishna. This is Krishna. So this verse, it says here, saying to Arjuna, wake up and fight, that you are going to get fame from this, but not, you are not be insulted. Why? If you don't fight, you'll be insulted, but you wake up and fight. That you can also enjoy that tasmatam uttishta ishoillavasva jitva shatrun bhungshe rajyam samardham. You can also enjoy this kingdom because I am allowing you to have it. You can have it. You can enjoy the kingdom and all the royal opulences. What else? Mayayvede nihada purvam eva. Nihada purvam eva. That that you, if you do not follow this, what I am instructing to you, Krishna says to Arjuna, that you will not understand what is going to happen. You won't know it. If you are thinking something else in your mind, actually all these people are dead. Krishna says to Arjuna, already he says to Arjuna, all of them are dead. There is no point in trying to not to fight. They are already dead. But I'll give you an opportunity. If you want to use it, you can use it. That if you fight the war, they are already killed, but you will get the fame in this world. This is the result from that. So, in other words, out of his Krishna's causeless mercy, or cause compassion for Arjuna, seeing his situation, Krishna's decision was that Arjuna can fight and get the credit from that. Oh, I'm the hero of Mahabharata war. You can say like that. I'm the hero of Mahabharata war. So Krishna wanted that to be spoken, and that is why Krishna also says that my ability to destroy, just like I create these universes, I maintain them and I destroy them in the end. They all come back to me, all these universes. And that is what is going to happen now, my ability to destroy. All of them are dead virtually. There's nothing going to stay in this world. Then there are so many interesting things to come from this verse. It's a very, very beautiful verse, because if you reflect on this verse, you can see a large connection in our own life and what happened to many, many great personalities in this world. It gives an indication. We all have what is known as swabhavam, our particular nature in us. And that's very difficult to change, isn't it? The swabhavam in us, every one of us have got a particular nature, as we say. Oh, sometimes we say, oh, that's his nature. You know, you can't do anything about it. You can't do anything, you can't change that man. And that is his nature. He acts like that, he behaves like that. Sometimes rude, sometimes friendly. And all different nature, different people have. We say it's his nature. So this nature is there in every one of us. We have in some way or the other. So normally, this is just to get this a little bit more interesting, to understand this. When the army fights a war, sometimes you know the military people, when they have a war to fight, they have to cross through jungles and forests and cross the rivers and all that. And they are particularly very expert in doing things, isn't it? Because time is of essence for them. That they don't have a lot of time that they could take 2 years, 3 years to build a bridge. That's not possible. So they have set up a system where when they want to cross the river and to transport a whole army to the other side, they will build certain bridges in a particular way. That special bridges they design and build them. And they have experts, and they have organized their army team of engineers and work and the soldiers in such a way that everyone will come into action. And in a very few hours or days, they'll complete the work, bridge construction. They can do that. So these are all the expertise in the army. They have these things. So once an army had to go and cross a river, and the commandant of the army told the person concerned that make a sketch of the bridge we want to build across this river. They have a system of doing that. First make the drawing and then start the construction. Construction means all the equipments and materials are available, and they build it in a very short time. And there'll be very, very basic things in the bridge. And this particular person who was actually making the sketch of the bridge, what he wanted to show it to his chief. He made the sketch in such a way, he thought that he has it by nature, he had this nature. Whatever he does, when he draws something, he'll make it beautiful, very beautiful. So he made the bridge. He drew the bridge first. He showed all the, it is like the suspension bridge where you have the ropes supporting the bridge from either end. And you can see that kind of bridges in sometimes many, many big rivers. And where they don't have the opportunity to build the supports in between. So they have the bridges suspended from either end. So the ropes hanging from all over, and the bridge, he has shown that. But his nature was such that he couldn't show anything in a natural way. It was his nature. So what he did, he drew the bridge, and then he showed a couple of people sitting on either side and fishing. He showed that as well. And then he showed some nice flower pots on either end to make it look a little bit more attractive. He thought the boss, the chief will like it. So he took it after he has completed it and showed it to the commandant. Commandant looked at it and he got angry with it. He said, why are you wasting my time showing all these things? I just want the bridge to be done, nothing else, he said. So this time what he took, he threw it back at him. And the person, he took it back and he started drawing the bridge again. Took out all the things, what he didn't want, like the flowers and all that. He says, what has got to do with me? He said, removed all the flowers and everything. But he still left those people to fishing there. He couldn't take it out. He just thought the river is flowing and it's natural that people are fishing from the river. Why I should take it out? He just thought like that. He brought it back again. This time, the commandant said to him, look, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. And he gave him a very stern warning to him. Look, all I'm looking for is the bridge. Nothing else. I don't want to see anything else. So he took it back again. And he was feeling difficulty to take this. He said, you thought that my drawing is not complete without that two people fishing there. So he said, he took out both of them. And instead, what did he do? At the end of both the bridge, at the end of the bridge and the, on either side, he made some samadhi-like thing, some tombs-like on the end, and brought it back. So the commandant saw that, and he asked him, what has happened? Why did these new things have come? He says, I put the fisherman on samadhi there, he says. He couldn't imagine in his mind that without that, so he finally thought better to put them on samadhi like we do with sannyasis or some great yogis. He put them on samadhi on the bridge itself. So what I'm saying is that this thing called nature in all of us is sometimes very difficult to overcome. We will react according to our nature in all situations. You can sit and study all the Vaishnava etiquettes for whole life, but at the end you will act according to your nature. This is the reality of the life. And there is no point in theoretically studying etiquettes day after day and remembering all the... And when the situation comes, your nature will act, not the etiquette won't act at that time. This is the reality. How will the nature change? Nature will change when you become absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. That is what will change a person's nature. History has proven that. It's not something new. No psychologist has to tell us these things. History has proven again and again, when you are absorbed following in the footsteps of these great personalities in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they can change your nature. They will make you devotees. They will change. Devotees will come to the mode of goodness. And all these so-called etiquettes, you don't have to worry about it anymore. That will become a natural thing in a person's life. This is how it changes. So therefore, important thing is this, nature cannot be changed like that. Nature will only change because the modes of nature, what we are associating is all low. And then we are studying the highest etiquettes theoretically. How will that work? Who is more powerful? The theory what you have studied or the practical modes of nature? Modes of nature is more powerful. So the nature will act. Tasmatam uttishtaya shoilabhasva jitva shatron bungsharajam samardham mayai vede nihada purvamevam nimittamatram bhavasavyasachin. Realizing Krishna is the most important thing. When you realize Krishna, you don't need to study any etiquette in this world. There is no need for that. Krishna will drive you through. And that is what is required. That is Krishna consciousness. So there are so many stories we can tell you. There was Vikramaditya, a great powerful king in the I don't know, about 800-900 years ago. Maybe a little more than that. This Vikramaditya had many, many great scholars and pandits in his assembly. Vararuchi was one of them, a famous personality. This is Vararuchi. Vararuchi had to go through his karma. Karma mass did not allow him. He was a Brahmana, born as a Brahmana, scholarly Brahmana in Vikramaditya's kingdom. And this Vararuchi suffered because karma was there, it followed him, and he had to marry a girl who was from a lower caste. In those days was like that. These things were very rigidly followed. He married and 12 children were born from them. 12 children were born from that relationship. But Vararuchi, after the marriage, when marriage happened, that was in a very peculiar circumstances. And the marriage happened and then Vararuchi thought himself the power of karma. Actually that has moved him so much that he realized it, that in this world it's no pointless to fight against your own karma. It's also pointless to fight against your own karma. Because people with great realization, they will see deeper things. And that's what he has seen. And that life of Vararuchi is a classical example of that. Anyway, what I want to tell you was, this Vararuchi, the fifth son, all the 12 children were great personalities. And they were such great souls that they were born And Varanaji told his wife, leave them there. He said, if karma is so powerful that I got into this marriage in this way, why should I bother about these children after all? After all, somebody is giving them life, isn't it? And if someone is giving them life, they will make the provision for their food also. This was Varanaji, the personality. Great personality he was. That with that scholarly and that real deeper realization in the mind that if there is a creator who has created all this in this creation and who has providing and who is so powerful that you can't even escape from your karma to such an extent, rigidly it's being imposed on me because of that marriage what happened. That's a story which in itself takes time. But Varanaji accepted that I got married like this and I have to accept it. If it is like this, he said, why do I have to care for the children? After all, somebody has given them the mouth also. If there is a mouth, it will be fed. This was his point. So naturally, it is this. Every time they were walking, husband and the wife were walking through the forest, many, many miles. It's a famous story. It's a real thing happened, and it is it has been documented and glorified in so many literatures also. Anyway, but if you walk into the forest, every time child is born, the mother will, the husband will ask only one question. He asked his wife. Varanaji asked his wife, has he got a mouth? Mother says, yes, leave him there. Don't bother. Carry on walking. Somebody else will pick up the child and bring him up. This is how it happened. So like this, 11 children were born and the 12th one, mother could not do it anymore. All my children I have lost like this. So 12th one, when he asked, has he got a mouth? She said, no, he hasn't got a mouth. She wanted to carry the child. So that's another story. But I wanted to come to this point that fifth one out of them was brought up by somebody like this. And by birth itself, realized, already self-realized, like an avadhuta. If you see in the Bhagavadam, there is so many persons. Jadabharata story is a similar situation. Jadabharata won't talk to anybody. Why? We know why we won't talk to anybody. All these pragranams or the stories, they are the episodes in the Bhagavadam, gives a lot to think about. What is spiritual life? What spiritual life is all about? And unless we go and follow their footsteps, there is no spiritual progress in this world. Bhagavadam is such a powerful literature to give you that understanding of spiritual life and take us along with them. So Jadabharata did that, and it was a personality like Jadabharata we are talking about. This fifth child of Varanaji. So his nature, whole day, I got this material body, I won't associate with anything in this world. Because of that realization, some prarabdham has given me this body. What did he do? Whole day, he will push heavy stones from the bottom of the hill to the top of the hill. He will push it. When it reaches to the top, he will push it down from there and smile, laugh at it when the stone comes down from the top to the bottom of the hill. This activity he will do the whole day till he gets tired. And then in the evening, he will go begging for food. So most of the people give some rice or wheat or something like that. Whatever he collected, only for that particular evening, what he wants to eat. That's only how much he will collect. Nothing more than that. That strength of realization in him was so strong that no accumulation, no place of residence, no arrangement for sleeping, nothing like that. Wherever he arrives, he will set up the fire there. Close by, he will beg, get the food, cook it there, and eat and sleep wherever he has cooked the food. Next to that, he will sleep. Next day morning, he'll get up and walk. Wherever he goes, he will do exactly the same business. This way, he spent the whole life in this particular way. So, this personality, once it so happened that he traveled whole day, and eventually he reached the cemetery where there was a cemetery where you burn all the bodies, isn't it? And there, when he arrived there in the evening, a group of people had come there with a dead body. They have burned the body, and he was watching them all, how they were talking to each other. What were they saying? The usual mundane talk between the people. What do they say? Oh, this mistake, it was very sad to see him go. As though they won't go, they were saying. They are talking, oh, it's how sad that we miss him now. you know, the usual jittering. And he was saying, they were talking to each other, and this person was thinking, look at these fools, what are they realizing in life? Are they realizing anything? This is how he was talking about it. He was listening to all that. After all, they left. So he sat there. There was fire going on, so he thought, I may as well use the fire for something useful. Took out some wooden branches, lighted the fire. Meanwhile, some rice is collected from the local people who brought it and started cooking. Cooking, the body is burning, and it was a little bit evening, cooler weather. So he was feeling a bit cool. And this person, he has got this elephantiasis. I don't know what you need this disease. That one leg, they get bitten by a particular kind of mosquitoes, and it gets bigger and bigger. And this kind of disease, sometimes only one leg will fatten up. The other leg will be normal. And this leg will be so much affected that while walking he has difficulty and painful also. And it cannot, you can't do anything about it. And he was not bothered also about it, whether to treat the illness or anything. No, there was no such consideration. Waiting for the body to drop. This was the person inside that body. Just like Jadabrata's story. So he arrives there and he lighted the fire, prepared his food. Food means this cooked rice. He ate all that and was about to sleep. By then it was quite late in the night. So generally these places are supposed to be the places of residence, places meant for the pastimes of Bhadrakali. Bhadrakali's pastimes happens in these places. You will see that in the fifth canto, exactly the same thing, what happened to Jadabharata. Jadabharata also, same thing happened. So this is her place for her entertainment, Bhadrakali's entertainment. So Bhadrakali comes there with all her associates, and she noticed this person sitting there. She comes up to him and tells him, move away from here, it's our place now. And you're an ordinary man sitting here like this. And you are absorbed, you are busy with what business have you got here? It's our time now, and we will, normally we come here and we dance here. We dance here. Bhadrakali with her associates, she dances there. So this person says to Bhadrakali, you can dance little bit away from here. I sleep here, he says. Says to her. As soon as he said that to her, she thought that this is not an ordinary person, little different. She says to him, I'm going to throw you out from here. And in response to that, he says to her, that try that, then if you want to throw me out, you can try it. Why are you talking too much? That was his answer to her. Bhadrakali immediately sensed in him some divinity, that divine nature in him. Like Jadabharata, when he saw Bhadrakali coming out of the temple, Jadabharata was not moved. She didn't say one word to her. If you remember in the Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, it's a beautiful episode. Such a beautiful thing to understand a lot from that. So, exactly the same approach here also to Bhadrakali. Says to Bhadrakali, I have nothing to do with you. You carry on with your business. I'm sitting here. I'm going to sleep now. Don't disturb me, he says to her. So, she realized that that this is some divine person. It's not an ordinary human being. Ordinary human being means this would have gone by then. But this here, it was a little different reaction from... She is Satchidananda Swarupini, isn't it? Satchitananda Anandam, that is her true nature. So she can recognize who he is. She recognized him. And she told him that we will go away, but before we go, we want to offer you some boon. He said, something. We want to offer it to you. He said. He says to her, what boon can you offer? He says, I don't want any of your boons. This was the answer from him. A self-realized soul in that situation is not looking for boons from anybody in that condition. So Bhadrakali says to him that we will offer you some boon. Please take it, at least for our pleasure. We have met now and we would like to offer this to you. Bhadrakali's associates are all standing there. So he says to her, if you insist on something, I'd like to know that how much lifespan do I have? That's all I want to know. How long more I have to stay in this body? In other words, that was his question. You see, he is asking a question which is very valid for him. Because, you know, sometimes when you don't like an apartment or a house or a hotel or something, What do? You decide how long I have to stay, or how long I have to work in this company, or how long, when will I leave this office? This is how you look at the watch, isn't it? Similar mood was in him, that he was thinking that, when can I leave from this body? So she told him that you have got so many years more, so 25 years or 30 years, something like that, so many months, so many days, so many hours, so many minutes, and so many seconds. Up to that, she gave him clearly the information, what he wanted to know. He got all information, and she says to him, what more can we offer to you? He says to her, can you reduce it for a day? One day, can you reduce it? She says, no, that we can't do. That is something else is controlling that. It's not under my custody. Okay, can you increase it for another day? She says, that also we can't do. Then what's the point in asking you anything? He says to her. This was an open question to her. To Bhadragali, he asked, what am I supposed to ask you? Okay, if you are insisting that you have to offer me something, otherwise you won't be happy, then do one thing, he says. This elephantiasis, this disease, can you move from this leg to this leg then? He says to her. So she did that for him. She did that for him. And he says, now you can go, he says to her. You can go. I've taken your benediction, great benediction what you offered me. I got it now. You can leave now, he says. And Bhadragali paid her obeisances to him and left. So from this you have to understand that the what Krishna is saying here, that the tasmatumuttishta yashoillabhasva jitva shatrum bhungsharajyam samrtham maye vede nihida purvamevam nimitta mantram bhava sabhisajin. Actually, we are only a cause in this world. We haven't got much control on this situation. Exactly like Bhadragali told this personality about his life. Our life is also like that. Already everything is decided. How long we will live in this world. When we will leave this world. Where we will leave this world. Under what conditions we will leave this world. All these things, we have no freedom. We have no freedom. What is the point in fighting each other in this world, trying to establish, when we are under such powerful control of Krishna? Krishna's control is so strong in these things. And this particular verse is pointing out to us, if they were thinking that they are going to fight the battle and win, forget it, Krishna says. Who? The Kauravas. And if Arjuna was thinking that Pandavas are going to fight the battle and win it, Krishna says, forget it. Neither side you can forget it. I make the decision. Who should die? Who should go? When they should die? Under which conditions should die? It is exactly true with us also. It's not much different. Only thing is, like Kauravas, we are thinking, oh no, we have got more time to sort out many more things. And when death will come at one day, and then we'll deal with it. This is what still we are thinking, either through Bhupa or through NHS or whatever it is. But there is no dealing with anything. Nothing there. Karma is controlling very powerfully. Prarabdham is holding us in this body so strongly. Krishna is saying there, nimitta matram bhavasavyasajin nimittam. That's only a cause. That's all. Everything. Sometimes you will notice this when people die. In the obituary you read. Obituary in the paper. So-and-so died. He was 80 years old, 90 years old. Died of cancer. Or died of Alzheimer's. Died of Parkinson. Alzheimer, Parkinson, cancer, nothing is the cause. That was just that nimittam that come at that moment to leave that particular body. That's all. Cause is Krishna. Krishna's energy has decided. Krishna has set it up like that way. That at the last minute, one of them will come to tell us that it's time to go and we have to leave. So that is the most important message in this verse. Tasmatvam uttishta yashollabhasva jitva shatrum bhungsharajyam samardham maye vede nihida purvamevam nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. Savyasachin, Arjuna's name is used as Savyasachi. Why? Arjuna had this tremendous capacity to use the left hand and to shoot the arrow with the left hand. Now, using that word Savyasachi, Krishna is saying, even if you want to change it from left hand to right hand, you have no freedom. What to talk about anything else? What to talk about killing all these people? Even the freedom to switch on from left to right, even you don't have that freedom. And you are thinking you were thinking, in other words, from the beginning, that, oh, I have to fight all these people, I have to win this war, I have to do this, I have to do that. So many false illusory concepts has built up inside. And that is what Krishna has taken out now from Arjuna. And so through this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Tasmatvam Uttishta Yashoyalabhaswa, through this verse Krishna is saying to us, the freedom what you have is this, that your stay in this world is decided, already decided. Your time departure, it's like the flight ticket, it is already written there, what time you leave. Everything is already sorted out. What freedom do we have then? What freedom do we have? The only freedom is you have can do your, execute your work. The karmam you can do it. And use that karmam for whatever benefit you want to achieve in life. And that is spiritual life. So this freedom is what is discussed here. That all karmam, actually the doer is Krishna. The doer is Krishna. And this will not stick into your head very easily. Krishna is doing everything. We are only the tools in Krishna's hands, and we are being used by Krishna at different times in different ways, in different conditions, and different results come from that. But in ignorance we are thinking, we have done it, and then the results come, or we are responsible for it, isn't it? And that's so embedded strongly in us. Krishna says that to get out of that conception, that whenever some work is done, the jiva, living entity thinks, conditioned soul thinks, that I am the doer, isn't it? Or I am the enjoyer of the results. It's me who has caused the results to happen because of my activity. Because all these misconceptions are so strong, and this is the misconception that we have to get rid of from us. This misconception of I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. Therefore, in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna started with karma, telling us that karmam has to become a yogam, otherwise you are an illusion. Karma yoga means that to take out this proprietorship from that, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, otherwise it is bondage. Krishna says it will bind you further and further to this world. That Krishna is freedom, Krishna has the freedom from this proprietorship. Krishna never thinks like that, I am the doer. We have to think like that, Krishna doesn't have to think like that. And also eternally liberated. So therefore, all these misconceptions do not occur or do not develop in Krishna's thoughts. Whereas for us, these are our problems, find it difficult to overcome. Then, and when the living entity also develop that attitude like Krishna, in the same way, becomes freed from his karmam freely by engaging in spiritual activities through karma yogam and bhakti yogam. Bhakti yogam comes later, but freedom has from this karma has to come first. Only then that process of bhakti will become pure. Then the pure bhakti will be pure. Otherwise that bhakti will become, otherwise what we today do in this world in the name of bhakti is actually not bhakti. It is all transactional, very much based on the material life, material happiness in this world. That's what we are begging from Krishna all the time. But proper bhakti discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, which will come in the next chapter, much more detailed, Krishna discusses there what is bhakti. And when we can appreciate that, all our false and foolish understanding of bhakti has to go. It has to go. Because if we keep on carrying out this kind of devotional life, what we think is devotional, that devotional life will actually degrade us in the foolish understanding. So, tasmatvam uttishta yashoyalabhasva jitva shatrung bhangsharajyam samurdham mayai veden hida purvamevam nimittamatram bhavasavyasajin. So, nimittamatram, only the cause, Krishna says. Dronanja bhishmajajayadradanja karnam tadanya anabhi othaviran mayaharastum jahima vidishta idyasya jeda sirane sapatnan. Now, Arjuna, when he saw this army standing there, what was the army? Dronanja bhishmajja jayadradanja karnam tadanya anabhiyodhaviran. So, Drona, Bhishma, Jayadrada. Jayadrada was the brother-in-law, isn't it? Kaurava's brother-in-law, Duryodhana's and Dushasana's brother-in-law he was. This Jayadrada. And ద్రోణంజ భీష్మంజ జయధిరాజంజ కర్ణన్, కర్ణన్ ఇస్ ది అదర్ అదర్ పర్సనాలిటీ. దే వర్ ఆల్ ద గ్రేట్ ఫైటర్స్ ఇన్ ది అమంగ్ ది ఫ్యామిలీ ఆఫ్ ది అమంగ్ ది కౌరవస్. సో అర్జునస్ మెయిన్ కన్సర్న్ వాస్ అబౌట్ దెమ్. ది అదర్స్ వర్ నాట్ మచ్ ఆఫ్ ఎ గ్రేట్ థ్రెట్ ఫర్ అర్జున. సో అర్జున వాస్ థింకింగ్ దట్ దిస్ ద్రోణ భీష్మ అండ్ ఆల్ దాట్, ఇఫ్ దీస్ పీపుల్ ఇఫ్ దే విన్ ఓవర్ ఇఫ్ యూ విన్ ఓవర్ దెమ్ దెన్ ద వార్ ఈస్ మోర్ ఆర్ లెస్ వన్. ది అదర్స్ వర్ నాట్ ఆఫ్ ఎ గ్రేట్ కన్సర్న్ ఫర్ అర్జున. సో కృష్ణ ఈస్ సేయింగ్ హియర్ దే హవ్ ఆల్రెడీ బీన్ కిల్డ్. కర్ణం తదన్యాన్ మయాహరాస్వం జహిమా విధిష్ట యుద్ధస్య జేదా సిరణే సబత్నాన్. I have already killed them. Now you can win them over because I have killed them already. You see, Krishna says, I have already killed them. Now you can easily win them over. There is no difficulty. Just shoot the arrow and they'll be gone after that. That's how Krishna puts it to Arjuna like that. That you are frightened of these people from the beginning, but don't get frightened about them. Krishna says, Mayahanastam jahima vidishta idyasya jeda asirene sapatnan. That win this war very easily. Everything has been already sorted. So, why is this verse, what is this verse telling us in this? Now, it is not simply a historical account of something happened in Kurukshetra. Something happened in Kurukshetra. Why? Because this Bhagavad Gita has a close relationship with us. We have to always keep that in our mind. If we do not connect ourselves with Bhagavad Gita in this way, like I mentioned this before, Atmanam Rathinam Vidhi Shariram Ratham Evaja Buddhistu Sarathim Vidhi Manapragraham Evaja. It means that I am the chariot in the chariot, the soul is in the chariot, the living entity. And the chariot is moving, like this chariot which Krishna is driving, it's also moving. Arjuna's chariot is moving. And our chariot, this body, is also moving, isn't it? This body is moving. Moving means what? It's going through its life. One day after another, it's going through the life. And sitting in this chariot, what do we do? We do not take note of what is our duty in this chariot. While seated in this chariot is this particular soul. We got also the same thing like mind, intelligence, senses, everything. I mentioned this before also. So they're all there. But we do not know how to use them. How to use them. Krishna is saying to us that I am driving this chariot for Arjuna. I am sitting inside you also driving the chariot for you, if you want me to drive the chariot. If you want me to drive the chariot, that means this human life, if you drive it properly, if you allow Krishna to drive this chariot properly, it will reach the destination. In other words, the only one and only one thing that Krishna is concerned about us is this one factor. What is that? We must endeavor for self-realization in this life. If we do not use this human body to realize the self, what we are, this is the most striking question in front of us, asking, facing us, is this, what are we? Which is called as self-realization, isn't it? Sakshalkaram, that is called it another word in the Shastram. That to realize oneself, I am not this body, I am spirit soul, and I am part and parcel of Krishna. Or as we devotees say, I am Krishna's servant. My relationship is with Krishna. That realization is what Krishna wants us to realize. And this is that battle of Kurukshetram going on within us. That we are not able to realize this, and that is our battle. Our battle is this battle, that not able to realize our identity properly. So, Krishna is saying here, if you put the endeavor in that direction of self-realization, if you have accepted me and instructions in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, and if you are following that process sincerely, and trying to reach the goal, I will be helping you in that process. Krishna will help the devotee in that process to reach the goal. Otherwise, there is no possibility. And that is what Krishna wants us to do. All the other things in this world are immaterial. They have no value. Bhagavad Gita is only pointing out one and one thing alone, and that is to become, realize the self in this human body. The importance of realizing the self in the human body. And therefore, because the goal is missing, and because we are not focused enough on that goal, our life is always in problems. It is going on different directions. Sometimes we think we'll do it at the old age. Sometimes we think we'll do it when we'll meet the right guru, or when we say we will do it when we go back to India, or sometimes we say we'll do it when my family life is over. Sometimes so many millions of excuses we have, but Krishna is not accepting any of them. Krishna is saying that may go or may not go. That will come according to your karma. That no point in trying to alter it too much. And if you are thinking that after adjusting all these things, I'll come to spiritual life, Krishna says, by then it could be too late. It could be too late. He has lost the chance. And I can tell you, in the Bhagavatam, it is a little bit more stressed strongly. What does Krishna say there? Krishna gives the best example like this. To such an explicit manner he has spoken, and still we won't wake up. This is our difficulty. We still think that there is something else in this world, still interesting, exciting for us. After that we'll do it. This is how our mind. Krishna says there that Akhadam Niyamanasya Vadya Sevina Tushtida. He says, Uddhava, look at this way, he says, that a huge tree is standing there. Huge tree is standing there. And the council has decided, county council or the owner of the build house, whatever, to cut that tree, right? So the woodcutter comes, and what does he do? He starts first cutting from the bottom, because if it's not a very huge tree, that's how it is. Nowadays it's a little different, that they come and they put this thing, the huge stairs, and then they put the ropes all around, and then they got this 4 or 5 things hanging around all their body. But, and they start cutting pieces from top to bottom, they start cutting pieces, and eventually cut the whole thing down. That's only in a crowded place like that. But suppose it's an open place where you have a tree standing in the middle and you want to cut it, it's not so, you don't have to go through this whole thing, you can cut from the root itself and make sure that the tree falls in a proper direction, that's all. So they normally put the ropes on the tree and they pull it to the particular direction which they want the tree to fall. So when he starts cutting, he will start cutting one after the other, tuck, 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 he keeps cutting. So, Akhadam Niyamanasya Vadya Sevana Tushtida, Krishna says to Uddhava. Uddhava, it's like this, that suppose you have been decided, you have committed a severe crime, and it has been decided to be hung. You have decided to be hung. And the night before, the day decision was taken, by tomorrow morning, the person should be hung. You have become a criminal and you are going to be hung. So in the evening, the judge asked him, do you have any desire now to be fulfilled? Before the judge who took the decision to hang him has taken it, asked him, do you have any other desire now today which you like to fulfill, a nice feast or any such thing before you leave your body? What will he answer? His answer will be, instead of executing me in the morning, can you do it now and finish with it, so that another 12 hours I don't have to go through this ordeal, isn't it? That will be the normal response from that person. So Krishna is saying that there is not a lot of difference between the human species and the person who has been convicted to be hung. The only difference is, in this person's case, it's been decided it is tomorrow morning. All our life, it's a little bit more longer than that. That's the only difference, Krishna says. There's only little difference. And just like the woodcutter has started cutting, our tree also is getting cut. If you want the proof, put your hand here. You can experience that cutting going on inside. Tuck, tuck, tuck. This is that cutting going on inside. So eventually what will happen? One day this tuck tuck will stop, and that's the time when the ambulance comes. Isn't it? The ambulance comes at that time to take you to that particular place, and all what the doctor does is confirms that the tree has fallen. That's what the doctor's job is. Nothing else. This is what doctors do. What else can they do? Because the decision is taken by somebody else already when the tree should fall. So this analogy in the Bhagavadam is only to point out to us our so-called freedom is limited. Our so-called intelligence is limited. Everything is limited. We have no freedom to do, act independently of anything. Only freedom, Krishna says, if you are intelligent, take to Krishna consciousness. And that is the message in the Bhagavadam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita. In all these verses, that is what you should find. Aghadam niyamanasya vadyasyevana tushtidaha. Krishna says to Arjuna, also says to Uddhava, Uddhava, tell me one thing. To that person who has been destined to be hung, what will make him happy? What is going to make him happy? Similarly, for us also, what thing on this earth will make a person happy? Will make a person happy by giving millions of pounds? Will that make him happy? Because at the end, the cutting is already going on, isn't it? The cutting is already going on. So the proof is there, right in front of us, as I mentioned, that doctors have got equipment to note where it is. It is the only the doctor is measuring is the rate of cutting is going on properly. That's what he is measuring. He's not measuring anything else. He's not doing anything else about it. Probably he will take a graph or a chart out of it, ECG and all he'll make, and he'll show it to you. Oh, it's working. The cutting is going on very well, he says, showing you the chart. That's what the chart is doing. And the waves are perfect, he says. Yeah, it works fine. That's good. So that's what the chart is showing. Who has got control on the chart? The person who controls the chart is somebody else. If that chart has to go on perpetually, then that person has to make the decision. The doctor hasn't got any influence on that. These are the principles of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is reality. Everything else is Maya. That is what Krishna consciousness is. Krishna consciousness is reality. One who has woken up to this situation, Krishna congratulates him. And that is what in this verse Krishna is saying. Wake up to that. To Arjuna, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, wake up to that reality. You are eternal, spirit soul, and you are part and parcel of me. Remember that and realize it. And that is this human life. This example of Drona, Bhishma, Karna, Kripa and all that, enemy is within us, fight it out and come over through this victorious and realize yourself who you are. This is the message from the Bhagavad Gita. Dronanja Bhishmaja Jayadradanja Karnam Tadanyanabhiyo Dhaviran Mayahadastam Jihima Vyadishta Yudhyasya Jayata Sirane Sabatman. Then, after this was spoken, Krishna says, if you remember, in the earlier chapters, somewhere I remember we were talked about this also. Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. I think it was in the 9th chapter where we had that important verse. Krishna says there that that a person who is surrendered to me, his yogam and kshemam I look after. Do you remember that verse in the 9th chapter? Look at that. Yeah. Ananyaschindayandomam yojana parivasade tesham nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. I mentioned that at that time, what does this yogam and kshemam means? Yogam and kshemam is not that Krishna will provide me with all my material needs, that Krishna will provide me, pay all my bills for me. That's not yoga kshemam. That is a secondary thing. That's not the important thing. In order to talk about paying bills, Bhagavad Gita need not have spoken. There was no need. Krishna could have sent us an email saying that, send all your bills to me, I'll pay it. But that's not what Bhagavad Gita is talking about. Ananyaschindayandomam yejana parivasade. One who has come to Krishna with this understanding of self-realization and approaching Krishna and taking Krishna shelter to release oneself from this bondage of death and birth and death. He is the intelligent person. It is him, Krishna congratulates him. Krishna glorifies him. That's why that yogam and kshemam, what is spoken in the 9th chapter, verse 22, is this what is referred to in this verse. This is what is important for Krishna. All other things, Krishna says, that will come according to your karma. Don't have to worry about it too much. Just like how we use Krishna when we want him to our own advantage. Sometimes I mentioned this before also, we travel in a bus or a train or in a car also sometimes in the motorway. We got into an accident with another car, crashed and collided or whatever it is happened. And out of that, we escaped somehow. And somebody else got killed in the car. So we say to Krishna, oh, you protected me, you saved me from this. And we feel, and we tell others also how Krishna has saved me. And for the next few days, my spiritual life goes very high. I am going to temple every morning, Mangalarti, chanting 16 rounds, so committed to Krishna. After a few days, the whole thing changes again. This is the mind, it is like that. So, in that condition, actually we are offending Krishna by saying this also, because if you say that Krishna has saved you at that time, you have to accept that Krishna has killed the others, isn't it? That also you have to accept, that Krishna says, I have no business in what you are doing. You get killed or you get saved according to your karma. That is what is deciding whether you will be saved, or whether you will be killed, or you come with half the body, half lost, or whatever it is. So these things are not important thing. Krishna is saying there that this one aspect of Krishna consciousness, and realizing the self and understanding what we are, and reaching that goal is the success of human life. Nothing else. Dronanja Bhishmaja Jayadradanja Karnam Tadanyanabhiyodha Viran Mayahadastam Jahima Vyadishta Yudhyasa Jedasiranan Sabatman. Krishna says, if one person is endeavoring in that direction, if somebody is endeavoring in that direction, I will provide him all the support what he needs. Provided he is focused and going in that direction. That's what he is saying there. So, and then after, when Krishna spoke all these things, Arjuna is realizing certain things there. So Arjuna is, as soon as this was spoken, then Sanjaya says now, these three verses, Krishna, three important verses, which I mentioned to you, Kalosmi Lokesh, verse 32, 33 and 34. Please try to memorize these verses. They are so important, because by remembering and repeating those verses, you can be satisfied in this material world. It is a great understanding of human life, who controls whom. And you don't have to get disturbed when things go in the wrong way in this world. Krishna is controlling everything. Bhagavad Gita is absolute. The knowledge is absolute in the Bhagavad Gita. So, at that time, Sanjaya says to Dhritarashtra, what happened at the battlefield. Sanjay Vacha. Eda Shrutva Vajanam Keshavasya Krita Anjaliyaveva Mana Kiridi Namaskrutva Vuyayavaha Krishnam Sagalgadam Bida Bida Pranamya. So what happened? Eda Shrutva Vajanam Keshavasya. These words from Keshava, Krishna. Krita Anjaliyaveva Mana Kiridi. Krishna, Arjuna is called as Kiridi at that time. And Kiridi was experiencing a great fear in the mind. And how did that happen? Bhida bhida pranamya. And all he could do was only one thing. What was that? Just to pay the obeisances to Krishna then and there. Got down and paid obeisances. And with folded hands and choking, his voice was choking, hands were folded and fell down and started paying obeisances one after the other. When people get purely devotional, and that devotion builds up in the heart very intensely, this is what happens. You cannot stop paying obeisances. Nowadays, for us, it's a struggle to pay the obeisances, isn't it? Because that is how empty we are inside. This is what it is. There is no devotion. It's like a duty, it's being done. But for Arjuna, what happened now was, because of that feeling of devotion to Krishna, what was coming through in his heart and overflowing it, Arjuna could not stop paying obeisances. He couldn't stop it. He continuously paid obeisances. That's what he's saying here. Yada shrutva vachanam keshavasya. Krishna's words were penetrating through the heart of Arjuna. And kridanjali vepamana kiridi. That gratitude to Krishna, kridanjali. That gratitude to Krishna, Arjuna was experiencing and feeling it strongly. Kridanjali Ravevamana Kiridi Namaskritva Bhuya Evaha Krishna. Krishna, he prayed, started his obeisances, paying obeisances, and sagat gadam bhida bhida pranamyaha. Bhida bhida pranamyaha. That fear, inside, fearful, excitement, don't know how to say about Arjuna's experience at that moment. And he continued saying this to Krishna again. Well, many times he paid obeisances, he felt it's not enough, want to pay again obeisances. And you can see how the change has happened in Arjuna by seeing that form. That's what happens when devotion develops inside. Arjuna Vacha. Now onwards, for many verses, it's Arjuna talking again. Another, I think about 11 verses or so, Arjuna is talking about his experience now. Up to this time, he has been seeing that universal form. It is still there. And Arjuna is now expressing his experiences to Krishna. What is he saying? Arjuna Vaja. Stane Krishigesha Tava Pragirtya Jagal Prakrishyatya Nirujyadeja Rekshamsi Bidani Dishodhravandi Sarve Namasyandija Siddha Sangaha. Then Arjuna was frightened, as I said before, and he is shaking with fear what he was going through. And then he says to Krishna, addressing Krishna, Stane Krishigesha Tava Pragirtya Jagal Prakrishyatva Nirajyadeja Rekshamsi Bidani Dishodhravandi Sarve Namastandija Siddha Sangaha. Then Arjuna is noticing a lot of great devotees, personalities in that group, Siddha Sangaha, and also Rekshamsi Bidani, so many other personalities also who are present there. All of them were glorifying Krishna. And they were seeing Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And devotees, when they experience Krishna, naturally they will feel happiness, isn't it? When they are able to contact with Krishna in some way, they feel great happiness from that. Arjuna is mentioning that. And that's a natural thing. Similarly, for atheists, when they when they see Krishna, what happens to them? They get frightened and they get shaken, visibly shaken by that, isn't it? So in this universal form, Arjuna was noticing all these things. Devotees were glorifying Krishna and they were feeling happiness on their faces. And the Rakshasas and demons and all that, they were frightened in seeing this form of Krishna, and that fear on their face and their disturbed mind, all that Arjuna has noticed at that time. And some of them were trying to run away by seeing this universal form. Arjuna has noticed that. The Siddha Sangha, as it says, that they were falling down at Krishna's lotus feet and paying obeisances again and again and glorifying Krishna. That was going on. Arjuna is noticing all that things. He says to us, Kasma chadenanna meran mahalman gariyase brahmano pyadigartre ananda deve shajaganivasa tomaksharam sadasal talparam yal. Then Arjuna says to Krishna, Kasma chadenanna meran mahalman gariyase brahmano pyadigartre ananda deve shajaganivasa tomaksharam sadasal talparam yal. Krishna, Arjuna says to Krishna, that Brahmanopyadi Kartre, even Lord Brahma, who has come from you, he is paying obeisances to you here. That's what Arjuna is witnessing. Kasma, he says, Arjuna is saying, is it surprising that even personalities like Brahma is paying obeisances to you? In other words, Arjuna was saying that I am not at all surprised that even they are paying obeisances. What to talk about? Even Brahma, the greatest of all, he is paying the obeisances to you. So I am not a lot surprised the others are paying obeisances. In other words, Kasma chadenanna meran mahalman gariyase brahmanopyadi kartre ananda devesha jagannivasa. Addressing Krishna as jagannivasa. Jagannivasa means the whole universe, who occupies the whole universe, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ananda devesha jagannivasa. Tomaksharam sadasal talparam yal. That you are the Akshara Brahma. Akshara Brahma means what we discuss in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That we have seen there, Om. That is not different from Krishna. That is what Arjuna is establishing, that impersonal Brahma is not different from Krishna. In other words, all that what exists, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and Krishna alone. And Arjuna is again revealing his realization to Krishna directly like this. Kasma chade nannameran mahalman gariyase brahmanopyadikartre ananda devesha jagannivasa tvamaksharam sadasal talparam yal tvamadi deva purusha purana tvamasya vishwasya param nidhanam tvamavyaya vetasi vedyanja paranjanama tvayadadam vishwamananda rupaham. Then from now on, in the next 1, 2, 3, or 4 verses or so, or 3 verses, there is a complete, there's only one thing, just paying obeisances, nothing else. Continuously paying obeisances, you can notice that. Next 3 verses, if you take in the Bhagavad Gita, that is verse 38, 39 and 40. The essence is only one thing, just paying obeisances to Krishna. That mood of Arjuna at that point, you can imagine what it's like his heart going through. That in the previous verse, Krishna said that if Brahma has taken, Arjuna is saying, if Brahma has taken to that process of paying obeisances to you, what is our situation? Is anything different? If Brahma has only this one business to do, what other business have we got to do except to pay obeisances to Krishna? In other words, if one has accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and taken to the process of Krishna consciousness, then from then on his life is secure. He doesn't have to have any fear about anything. That from then on it is Krishna's duty to take it further from there. So this acceptance of Krishna's position is one of the most important things. That along with that, ignorance will go, knowledge will come, and all the other interest in other things in this world will also go away. That is the Krishna consciousness process. So, kasma chade nannameran mahalman gariyase brahmanopyadikartre ananda devesha jagannivasa tomaksharam sadasal talparamyan. And then in the next few verses, obeisances. Tomadi deva purusha puranam tomasya vishyasya varam nidhanam vetasi vedyan jabaranjadama tvayadadam vishwamananda rupaha. So now onwards you will see one thing. Obeisances on the front, in the back, on right, on left, obeisances all over to Krishna. That's what you will find here. These two personalities in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, that is Arjuna here and Uddhava in the Bhagavadam, how many times they paid obeisances to Krishna, you can't count. You cannot just count it. It is so many times in the Bhagavadam. Sri Sugan says about Uddhava like that while departing to Badrinath, Uddhava's obeisances to Krishna. Front side, go to the left hand side, from the back side, from the right side, from all sides, still not satisfied. Not satisfied by paying obeisances. That was these great devotees, their consciousness. All they wanted was to simply pay obeisances to Krishna. Krishna is not expecting a lot from us. That love of a devotee and that surrender to Krishna. This is all it is. That is bhakti. That's bhakti. The love for Krishna and that surrender to Krishna. And that humility, what the Arjuna and Krishna have shown in their relationship with Krishna. These are the important things in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam pointing out to us. So, in this verse you will notice that Veta asi vedyanja bharanjanama payatadam vishwamananda rupam. That the only person who is present in the whole creation is Krishna. That Arjuna is recognizing that and paying his obeisances. In the next verse, Vayuryamogdarivaranashashanga prajavadistam prabhidamahascha namo namaste tu sahasragrtva punascha bhuyovi namo namaste. Arjuna's words, that Vayu, Yama, Agni, Varuna, Chandra, Prajapati, Brahma, Pravidamaha, all of them, all the demigods, all of them, it's you, nobody else. And namo nama, they all come from you. So it's you who is sitting there in all these different dresses. And whatever you see in this whole creation, that's all your glories, nothing else. If it is like that, whom should I pay my obeisances? Pay disobeisances again. Again and again and again. Continuously paying obeisances to Krishna. നമോ വായുർയമോഗ്നിർവരുണ ശശാങ്ക പ്രജാപതിസ്ത്വം പ്രവിദാമഹശ്ച നമോ നമസ്തേ തു സഹസ്രകൃത്വ പുനശ്ച ഭൂയോ വിനമോ നമസ്തേ നമ പുരസ്താദദ പൃഷ്ടദസ്തേ നമോസ്തുതേ സർവദയേവ സർവ അനന്തവീര്യാമിത വിക്രമസ്ത്വം സർവം സമാപ്തോഷി തതോസി സർവാഃ. സോ ഇൻ ദ നെക്സ്റ്റ് വേഴ്സ് ഓൾസോ കൃഷ്ണ അർജുന സേയ്സ് നമ പുരസ്താദദ പൃഷ്ടദസ്തേ നമോസ്തുതേ സർവദയേവ സർവ. Sometimes people think, where should I pay my obeisances to Krishna? From this verse you can see, if you want to pay obeisances to Krishna, you can pay obeisances anywhere, because he is present everywhere. It's not only that he is in the temple room or in the deity. So that is the point Arjuna is bringing you. Nama purastha dadavrishta sarve namostude sarvadayeva sarva. Whether I should pay at the back side or the front side. Where can I? Because there is no front and back, it's Krishna who is present in everything. So once that realization comes for a devotee, this is the perfection of that realization, that in this creation what exists is Krishna. And everything in this creation one has to pay obeisances to. Otherwise, our understanding is that only, oh, and I'm the temple, I'll pay obeisances to the deity. Outside when I come out, oh no, no, they are all not worthy. Worthwhile to be paid obeisances. He is lower than me, or he is useless, he is this, he is that. So like this we draw all different kind of divisions we make at that time. In our mind we do this, isn't it? Why? Because we have not got that spiritual understanding what it is really, what we are doing. Otherwise, so we pay this obeisance and pay obeisances there according to time, place and circumstances, as they say. So so that has to go. And this has to come into the mind that Arjuna has experienced. Nama purastha dadavrishta sarve namostude sarvadeva sarva ananda viryamida vikramastvam sarvam samapnoshi tadosi sarva. So everything in this creation, it's all Krishna's part and parcels. And Krishna is present in all of them. And so they are all worthy of being paid obeisances to. And there are many, many historical proofs to show that this has happened in the history many, many times. Especially when you study Ekadasi Skandam, this conclusion will come very, very strongly. And people find it very difficult to give up this conviction of paying obeisances to other living entities also. And that is the process, that when one starts realizing Krishna properly, then you can say that spiritual life is going in the right direction. Otherwise, whatever we do, it may be simply based on our own sense gratification. Proper advancement of spiritual life is this, when one sees Krishna's present in every living entity. That is the proof of that. So, nama purastha dadavrishtadaste namostude sarvadeva sarva ananda viryamida vikramastvam sarvam samapnoshi tadosi sarvaham. Then, now after this in two verses, Arjuna says something to Krishna of his past life, what he did wrong in his previous life before all this realization happened. And that's also very interesting, because if you study the next two verses, you can give a little bit comparison to ourselves and see, are we much different than Arjuna in any way? We are also not much different. And Arjuna was a bit like Dhritarashtra at that time, and we are still holding on to Dhritarashtra's hand. We have not left it yet. സഖേദി മത്വാ പ്രസവം യദുക്തം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹേ യാദവ ഹേ സഖേദി ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹേ യാദവ ഹേ സഖേദി അജാനദ മഹിമാനം തവേദം മയാ പ്രമാദാൽ പ്രണയേന വാഭി യച്ഛാവഹാസാർത്ഥമസൽകൃതോസി വിഹാരശയ്യാസന ഭോജനേഷു ഏകോദവാപ്യച്യുത തൽസമക്ഷം തൽക്ഷാമയത്വാമഹമപ്രമേയം. Talshamayatvamaham aprameyam. Two verses. Arjuna says to him, what was his situation prior to this? And Arjuna is openly saying this to Krishna. What was that? Sakhedi matva prasamam yaduktam hey Krishna hey Yadava hey Sakhedi. Ignorantly, I used to think of you as my friend, and I, not knowing who you were, I wasn't aware who you were. That was my problem. And I used to think, hey Krishna, hey Yadava, and all this kind of way I addressed you before. But what have I done? That repentance now in his mind, that I have called you like this, and how, what an offense I have committed. Where am I and where are you? In other words, when you realize that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, proprietor of millions and trillions of universes, and in each universe pervading Himself in the form of Karanodakshaya Vishnu, Chiradakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, in Vishnu forms, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, and other form, three modes of nature, all other kinds of living entities in this world, billions and billions of jivas, expanding in all these forms, and controlling this whole creation, what to talk about this one universe, billions of universes, and staying above all these things in His abode, in Goloka Vrindavanam, that Supreme Personality, Krishna, Arjuna is seeing that now, He's Krishna's position. And who am I, Arjuna? Arjuna says now, thinks about himself, comparing him. And now, automatically, Arjuna couldn't say anything, one word after this, only to repent and regret for what has happened in the past. That's what he's saying. Sakhedi matva prasavam yaduktam. He Krishna, he Yadava, he Sakhedi. Ajanada mahimanam tavedam. Maya pramadal pranayenavavi. Yacha vahasartam asalkradosi. Vihara shayasana bhojanishu. Ekodama pyachuda talsamacham. Tolcha mayatva mama praveyam. Only asking for forgiveness. What else can you do? Mistake has happened. It is, our situation is also like that. Sometimes people say that, oh, I am committing offenses all the time. I'm committing offenses all the time. But the interesting thing is, after committing offenses, they'll ask this question, what shall I do now? I've committed so many offenses. So how should I counteract that? So you tell them that, look, offenses have happened now. There's nothing you can do. What has happened is happened. You can apologize to the person for forgiveness. But if you go and do the same thing again next day, what was the point of this apology or this forgiveness? And this is what's going on with us all the time, isn't it? So here, Arjuna is not like us. Arjuna is different. As soon as he realized Krishna, what is Krishna and Krishna's position, there's only once you can apologize. After that, you don't have to apologize anymore. One should be able to come out of this. But our situation is that we are playing the weakest link, isn't it? All the time. We are always the weakest link. Arjuna is not the weakest link. He's not like us. So, Sakhedi Matva Prasavam Yaduktam He Krishna He Yadava He Sakhedi Ajanadamahimanam Tavedam Maya Pramadal Pranayena Vavi Echavaha Sartam Salkradosi Vihara Shayasana Bhojaneshu. All the time, vihara means while playing, shaya while sleeping, asana while sitting, bhojana while eating. All these things, all what I have done, Arjuna says to Krishna, what was that? Ego adavapya achuda talsamaksham talchamayatvam ahamaprameyam. Not knowing your glories and your position, what I have done was that I have committed innumerable offenses to you, and forgive me for that. One proper apology to Krishna from Arjuna. That's what he has done there in these two verses. Vihara shayasana bhojaneshu ego davapya achyuta tal samaksham tal chamayatva mahama prameyam. Then the greatest offense Krishna thinks that, we may think that, oh, we commit offense to somebody or commit another offense to a god brother or another devotee or this, that and the other. They are all offenses, no doubt about it. And they should not happen also. That is also true. But there is one offense which is much more serious than all these offenses. That is also mentioned in that verse. If you read closely, you will understand that. What is that offense? The greatest offense in this world is not to take Krishna's instructions seriously. In other words, not to endeavor for self-realization. That is the greatest offense you can commit to Krishna. Because Krishna had sent us here with this dress. For what? To get self-realized. And here, coming here, we are concerned about all little offenses, what you have done to a bus conductor or to a ticket examiner or to somebody. They are not offenses. They are not the serious offense. Serious offense is this, that we are not taken Krishna consciousness seriously. The purpose for which we were sent here, to a particular mother's womb, to get given this body and kept the milk ready in the breast of the mother to suck as soon as we come out. From that day onwards, right up to the last minute, when we were sent to the graveyard, who looked after us? Who looked after us? And who gave all the facilities to us? That is Krishna. And Krishna says, I've sent you with a clear instruction. This is what you should do, and that's Bhagavad Gita. And that instruction in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is only one thing, to endeavor for self-realization. And if one does not do that, that is the greatest offense one can commit in this world. This is the message of Bhagavad Gita. You see, all we are discussing so many things, offenses, 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 morning to night, tired of listening to these offenses, each other. Oh, I did this offense to that Prabhu did this offense to me. And we keep on discussing this life after life. Where are we going? We forget that there is another great offense throughout life we are committing, not coming to the senses of using our material body for Krishna service and surrendering to Krishna and understanding Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the greatest offense one can commit in this world. If that offense is rectified, all other offenses will not be taken seriously. They will not come on the way. And that is not going to hamper your spiritual life also. Because if you take this less offense seriously, that's what Krishna is saying there.
Pitasya logasya characharasya tomasya bujyasya gururgariyan natul samestya bhadiya kudonyo logatraya pya pradima prabhavaha.
Arjuna says there that position of Krishna. Earlier, Arjuna said to Krishna what all mistakes he has committed by not connecting himself with Krishna properly. That's what the mistake he has done. He did not connect himself with Krishna. Generally, our tendency is to fit into some institution and then try to follow the institutions and trying to think that institution is everything. And that way our spiritual life goes on day after day. But that is not how Bhagavad Gita was spoken. There was no institution in this world. And there it is pure knowledge that is stressed. The knowledge of Krishna and knowledge of how to understand Krishna and the knowledge of how to surrender to Krishna. This is the only activity. Everything else in this world is to help us in that process. That's all. That in itself cannot be the goal. The goal is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Nothing else. That alone is the goal. So if you are not moving towards the goal, rather caught up in the bureaucracy and all the other norms of this world and the process is misunderstood, then what is the use at the end of the day? What does Krishna says about that? It's beautifully Krishna says like this in the Bhagavadam. He mentions about like that. Shramayeva hi kevalam. All what you have done, that's the only profit at the end. Nothing else. You have done that, that's only profit. Nothing has come out of it. So, similarly, if these messages in the Bhagavad Gita is not taken or understood properly, then our attitude won't change in spiritual life also.
Pidasya logasya jarajarasya tamasya bujyasya urgariyan natal samastya bhariya kudonyo logatrayapya pradima prabhavaha.
Then, you are the Supreme Personality, the Spiritual Master, the Worshipable Personality, and except your glories and energy, nothing else is in this world existing. Then is there anyone else who is above you? No, none exist above you. And if somebody has offended you, what shelter has he got? He hasn't got any shelter after that, because that is the last thing, isn't it? Offend Krishna at any point. Okay, we will normally say that even if you offend Krishna, the spiritual master will save you. That is all well and good. But if the name of spiritual master saving me, if you continuously offend Krishna, that is not going to work also. At some point you have to come to our proper understanding also. Spiritual master will protect, provided one is so surrendered to spiritual master at least. But when that's also not there, then it is very, very difficult. That's the situation Krishna is explaining, Arjuna is saying here. Is there the one who is the well-wisher of the friend of all the living entities? If one offends him, is there anything more serious than that?
Logatrayapya pradima prabhavam.
What can we do? I have already committed so many offenses to you directly, knowingly and unknowingly. I have committed so many offenses. What can I do? please forgive me. And again, Krishna is, Arjuna is asking for forgiveness in this. That all these things are spoken to understand Krishna's glories. Sometimes in English we say, isn't it, that omniscient is a word used for in relationship with God, isn't it? In the dictionary also, we also say omnipotent. Omnipotent. Similarly, we also say omnipresent, isn't it? Omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. All these understanding is coming to Arjuna now. Now if you look these three words also, you'll find something interesting there. Generally, omniscient means what? Omniscient means one who is conscious of everything, isn't it? That's how supreme conscious person. It's also got another meaning you can take. It is like this, one who is in Om, the letter. Omniscient, he is one who is letter Om, non-different than that. Similarly, in English you say omnipotent, isn't it? What this is omnipotent? In other words, the potency of Om is Krishna. Similarly, omnipresent, one who is present in Om, that is Krishna. So you see, even the language is there to glorify Krishna in the same way. Even Saraswati Devi is saying that ultimately it's all Krishna. That is what is present in this creation. Omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. It's all letter Om is Krishna. Pidasi logasya jarajarasya tamasya bujyascha virur gariyan natul samostya bhadiya kudonyo logatrayapya pradima prabhavaha tasmān pranama pranidāyakāyam prasādayatvāmahamīśamīdhyam pideva putrasya sakheva sakhyo priya priya ayarkhasi deva sodham. So this discrimination of things, what Arjuna has got now, that is what need to come to us also in our spiritual life. What Arjuna got, that discrimination of knowing Krishna is as he is. Arjuna has known that. That only one thing Krishna, Arjuna says there, tasmal pranamya pranidhayakayam prasadayatu avahamishamidhyam, that fell down on the ground as it is and says to Arjuna, Krishna, let this please you and please be pleased with me. A father has to forgive his son and a friend has to forgive his friend. What else has he got? What other option he has got? Similarly, you are my friend, you are my relative, and you are my father, you are my spiritual master, everything is you. And if you do not forgive me, who will forgive me? That is what Arjuna is saying to Krishna. Look at Arjuna's humility at this point, how he is approaching Krishna. That realizations, and the words after realization of Krishna. Adrishta purvam khushidosmi drishtva bhayena japravyadhidom madome tadeva me darshaya devarubam prasida devesha jagannivasam. Adrishtavuvam khushidosmi drishtva bhayena japravyadhidam manome tadeva me darshaya devarubam prasida devesha jagannivasam. Then adrishtavuvam khushidosmi drishtva, that seeing this form, there is fear has crept into my mind, Arjuna says, and please move away from this form. Give up this form and come back to the normal form. Again, asking for mercy. This is what Arjuna's situation. Arjuna's situation was like this. Up to a certain time, like us, we have closed all the windows, doors, everything. We are sitting inside. Suddenly, all the windows and doors were open. And that is Arjuna's situation now. In the sense that when you open, close all the doors and windows, what happens? No light will come inside, from sunlight will come inside. No air, fresh air won't come into the house inside. No sound of any of the beautiful sound of the nature, like the birds singing, any of them will come inside. We have closed our windows and doors completely. And this is how we are. We are sitting like this in this world, isn't it? So, Arjuna's situation was like that before, but what has happened to Arjuna now is, suddenly all the windows and doors got opened and Arjuna is coming out. That is Arjuna's condition at the moment. That is what he is expressing there through this verse. Adrishta purvam khushidosmi drishtva bhayena japravyadhidam manome Tadeva me darshaya devarubam prasida devesha jaganivasa. That seeing Krishna in this way, Arjuna understood, I had kept my windows and doors closed. And that was completely open now. And Arjuna is coming out of that room with the open windows and doors, walking out. And how he was experiencing at that time, that is what he is mentioning here. The same thing you will see in the Upanishads also. The same experience of Arjuna, what he was experiencing here, is also in the Upanishads. It's also in the Upanishads. You will find Ishopanishad. If you take Ishopanishads, 16, mantra 16. Read that verse and you will find exactly the statement there of the devotee statement. What happens when you see Krishna? What it says there?
Yate rubam kalyana damam tate pashyami yoso vaso purusha soham asmi.
That form of Krishna, when he is seeing that, a devotee will realize this, that what I have been doing in all my life, I have kept everything closed to myself, but now the whole thing is wide open. And you have come out from that prison house. Prison house of, what is that prison house? Prison house is not only this body. Prison house is also that conditioning of us in this material world, conditioned by the home, conditioned by the family, conditioned by the society, conditioned by the country, conditioned by so many different entities. That conditioning has gone now, and that is what has happened to Arjuna. So when you come out of that conditioning of this world, what happens is this experience what Arjuna is saying here. And that is exactly the mantra 16 of Ishopanishad also talks about.
Kiridinam gadinam chakrahastam ichhami tvam drishtumaham tadeva tenaiva rupena chaturbhujena sahasrabaho bhava vishamurte.
This is another interesting verse.
Kiridinam gadinam chakranenjat chakrahastam ichhami tvam drishtumaham tadeva tenaiva rupena chaturbhujena sahasrabaho bhava vishamurte.
So up to this time, Krishna had thousands of hands, sahasrabaho he was. Arjuna is saying to Krishna now, come down from 1,000 to the 4, to the 400 form. That's what he's saying.
Chaturbhujena, he says, tena iva rupena chaturbhujena sahasrabaho bhava vishvamote kiridinam gadinam chakrahastam ichhami tvam drishtumaham tadeva.
Then, and also Arjuna wants to see that form of Krishna with the four-handed form, kiridam, gada, chakram, and that means lotus flower,
kiridinam, gadinam, chakrahastam,
yeah, the disc, the wheel in the hand, and the lotus flower, the club, and the crown in the head. Krishna says like that.
Kiridinam gadinam, Arjuna says, kiridinam gadinam chakrahastam vichami dvam drishtumaham tadeva tena iva rubena chaturbhujena sahasrabaho bhava vishvamurte.
So from 1,000 hands, Krishna has come down to the 400 form. Krishna has come to 400 form. Arjuna is asking Krishna to come to the 400 form. I would like to see that 400 form of Krishna. Arjuna says like that. All these aspects of Krishna's body in the 400 form, they have its own significance also. It's not to be forgotten. Then Krishna in the 400 form, in four hands, what does Krishna hold? Krishna has got his crown in the head, kiridam, and then on the four hands, disc, lotus flower, club, and the conchal, disc, lotus flower, and the club, isn't it? Four things Krishna holds in the four hands in the Vishnu form. What does all this mean actually? That all of them has some relationship with Krishna in some form or the other. That when the living entity gets liberated, all of us, when one day we will also get liberated. When that will happen, nobody knows, but it will happen one day. So one of the liberated form is this four-handed form. Chaturbhuja form of Krishna is, Vishnu is liberated form in Vaikuntham. In Vaikuntham, all living entities are four-handed form exist. In the four-handed form of Vishnu also, the club, the lotus flower, and the disc, and the conch shell, they also have some significance of that explained in the Shastras in different ways. For example, the lotus flower indicates that detachment of Krishna. That is the quality of that lotus flower. Lotus flower is the detachment in Krishna's activities. Able to act, a liberated soul only will have that consciousness, completely liberated, free from all karma. That completely freed consciousness, that's what it means. Conditioned soul will not have that. So that reminds us of that complete total detachment from the karma and its effects. That is the purity of the lotus flower. Lotus flower in the water is like that, isn't it? Never affected by anything. Never affected by the environment. Water never pollutes the lotus flower. As soon as you take the lotus flower out, it is free from that. So similarly, it is said here that the Krishna is like that. That lotus flower is actually indication of that. Similarly, what else? The conch shell. What is conch shell? Conch shell is nothing. If you remember, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of that conch shell comes. But Krishna's conch shell is Panchajanyam, isn't it? Panchajanyam is Krishna's conch shell. Where did that Panchajanyam comes to Krishna? After killing the demon called Panchajanan. If you remember, the Panchajanan demon was killed and Krishna got that as a special gift from Panchajanan, which is called and therefore it was called Panchajanyam. The name was given to that conch shell as Panchajanyam. So similarly for us also, our situation is also a little bit similar to this, in the sense that the living entity, generally, Pancha means five. From five things something has born. That's why it's called Panchajanan. Things born from five things. Or things which has got connection with the five things. Look at the soul's condition. The soul is a part and parcel of Krishna. But as soon as it comes into contact with these five things, what are they? Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam and Gandham. In other words, sound, Shabdam, Sparsham, touch, Rupam, form, then Rasam, taste and Gandham, smell. The five things through which we have related with this material world. Living entity, the spirit soul, is fallen into this trap of these five things, isn't it? This is what our problem is. These five senses of knowledge is constantly sending messages to us. Take from morning waking up to going to bed in the night, what else is happening? Except that these five things are working. Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam and Gandham. Those five things are operating very effectively in us and we have fallen down into that. Therefore, we are not knowing ourselves what we are. We don't know our real identity. We have fallen into these five things. Therefore, it is more like a demonic existence in that sense that when we have our senses are completely controlling us all the time. The senses are controlling us. We have no freedom to go out of it. So the Panchajanyam conch shell is also spoken of like this in order to give us understanding that all that is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita has some connection with us also to think about. Similarly, what does Krishna's club indicate to us? Krishna's club is nothing but Krishna's punishment to living entity. When the living entity breaks the law, the agency of material nature, Krishna punishes us in the form of one thing or the other. Either this earthquake or this cyclone or this, that and the other. That is Krishna's club's duty. The club does that. All these are persons in the Krishna's weapons, which is Krishna is holding in these four hands. They are all persons. So just like we have talked about this conch shell, we have talked about the club, we have talked about the lotus flower. And what else is there? The disc. What does that disc indicate? Disc is that thing which is the Kala Chakram. It says the time. The time has started, from the wheel has started rolling. That Chakram in Krishna's hands. See, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is not just talking some stories. There's a long, long lasting relationship with the creation. And a long lasting relationship with the living entity. It brings us to some awakening in ourselves to see how finally we are controlled by Krishna's energies. That wheel is that Kala Chakram. Kala Chakram is also Karma Chakram. In other words, in that huge wheel of Krishna, unknown and unseen by us, in that wheel we are rotating birth after birth. Birth, death, birth, death. And in that Chakram we continue like this. So all the four things in Krishna's hands, is keeping some connection with us. Two of us are internal, two are external. The external ones are the disc. And the internal ones are the other two. The lotus flower, and they are related to our internal aspect. That is how these consciousness, what Krishna is talking about, in Krishna consciousness, all these matters. That when we develop those qualities that Krishna consciousness brings in, that like the lotus flower, and realizing that Krishna's weapons are these clubs and the disc, and the conch shell, how it has brought us into the conditioning state of the five senses, we can wake up from our sleep. And that is what the message there. Kiridinam gadinam chakrananja tejo rashim sarvado dipti mandam pashyamitvam kiridinam gadinam chakrahastam ichamitvam drishtumaham tadaiva tenaiva rupena chaturbhujena sahasrabaho bhava vishwamurte. Vishwamurte, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, come to that four-handed form of with these four things in Krishna's hands. In the Vishnu form, Arjuna wants to see that. Because as soon as Arjuna sees that, this is the form great yogis and jnanis also meditate on. This form of Krishna, of the four-handed form of Krishna. The yogis meditate on this form with full understanding of what this Krishna's body is. There is so many things in Krishna's body which is reflecting our whole creation is coming from there. So otherwise, if you start looking at this four-handed form, you may think, oh, Krishna has got four hands, I got only two. How can I get two more? But we don't understand what these four hands mean actually. These four hands controls this whole creation. With these through four hands, Krishna runs. Just he needs only four hands to run the whole show, in other words. Through the four hands, Krishna is able to do that. So, kiridinam gadinam chakrahastam ichamitvam drishtumaham tadaiva tenaiva rupena chaturbhujena. That four-handed form, Arjuna wants to see. Arjuna knows these things now very well, what that four hands means. Sahasrabaho bhava vishwamurte. So from 1,000 to 4, it has come now. It's a straight drop from 1,000 to 4. Then what happens? Shri Bhagavan Vacha. Krishna is answering that question. Maya prasannena tavarjunedam rupam param darshinam atma yogal tejomayam vishwamanandamadyam enmetudanyenana drishtapurvam. Then, maya prasannena tavarjunedam rupam param darshinam atma yogal. That Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, you have seen this form only because I am pleased with you. Therefore, you are able to see all these forms. Otherwise, it would have never happened to you. That because you got absorbed in me, you accepted me, and you have taken me seriously. Then, then what has Krishna destroyed there? That up to that point, Arjuna was thinking that his only duty was to go through these five senses, isn't it? The senses were controlling their life, in other words. But now with this realization, Arjuna has realized that the four-handed form was a fault one. That is, in other words, that the senses, particularly that conch shell, panchajanyam, like the five shabda sparsha rupa rasa gandham, that five things, I have to come out from that. And Krishna destroys that, our connection with Maya. Our connection with Maya is through these five things, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. So once that is destroyed, the soul in pure consciousness is released from its bondage. And that is self-realization, when one goes away from the bodily concept of life and comes out from that. So all that is what Arjuna has realizing, and Krishna is saying to him that this cannot be understood otherwise. Na vede yarde nirnadane na chakriya birnatavo birugrai evam rupa shakyamaham na loge drishtam tadanyena kuru praveerah. That Arjuna is reminded again one more thing. Very important in the Bhagavad Gita, every single verse is ready to open up our mind. And our mind and thinking, to think more deeply into it. Na veda yajnyarthe nirnadanehi na chakriyabir na tabo birugrehi evam rupa shakyamaham nirloge drishtam tadanyena kuru praveerah. Krishna says to Arjuna, by studying Vedas, you won't see this form.
By studying Vedas, you won't see this form. By performing sacrifices, you won't see this form. Na Veda Yajna, na Adhyayanam. By studying Shastras, you won't see this form. Na Daneihi, not by performing charity, you will see this form. In other words, Krishna wants to say to Arjuna, what you have got today is something which you wouldn't have got by any other means. Why? Evam rupa shakyamaham naloke drishtam tadanyena kuru praviraha tapobirugraihi. By performing great austerities and penances, would you be able to see this form? Krishna says, no, you won't be able to see that. Why is all this mentioned there? Because Vedas are considered to be the superior knowledge. Vedic hymns are the highest knowledge, glorifying Krishna. But Vedic hymns is not everything in itself. Ultimately, one has to come through that to Krishna. Otherwise, Vedic hymns are also no good. If you keep repeating the Vedic hymns, the answer to that is, if you train a parrot to repeat what you say, the parrot will repeat it after some time. So, Vedic chanting the Vedic hymns should not go to that level, like the parrot to repeat it. Just like one day, a parrot got sick. So the owner of the parrot was a pet of somebody. He took the parrot to the vet and told the vet that parrot is sick. He is not doing this, that and the other. You know, natural attachment to the parrot he had. So he has trained the parrot to say a few things and the parrot will just repeat it. Whatever voice or sound or whatever he has trained. It is famously known, isn't it? How the parrot, like a parrot you repeat, we say, isn't it? So, while sitting with the vet and while talking, suddenly, at home the owner or the owner of the parrot noticed that he was not doing it properly. He was not listening. So, he took it that the parrot is sick. That's how he brought the parrot to the vet. So, while sitting with the vet, suddenly the owner of the parrot coughed once or twice. As soon as he coughed, the parrot also coughed. The owner says to the vet, oh, he's all right now, and brought him back. So, in other words, what it means is that simply repeating things is not good enough. So, Vedas are like that. Many people repeat the Vedic hymns in that way. That's why Krishna is saying they are refusing that. No, with that you won't come to the universal form. Na Veda Yajnyardhyayaneir Nadanei Na Jakriyabir Na Tapobirugraihi Evam Rupa Shakyamaham Naloke Drishtam Tadanyena Kuru Praviraham. So, in other words, universal form is not something what you can see by imitating some mantras or hymns or whatever it is.
Mate Vyadama Javimudha Bhavo Drushtva Rupam Gauram Idam Mamedham Vibheda Vipridamana Punastam Tadeva Me Rupam Idam Prapashyaham.
This another important verse.
Ma devyadama javimodha bhavo drushtva rupam gauram idrangmamedam.
Krishna is saying these three verses. Which one? 47, 48 and 49. Just like the three previous verses, these three verses are also very important. If you read through them and think through it, you will see why important.
Ma devyadama javimodha bhavo.
Then, Arjuna's position at the moment is that he has seen Krishna's universal form. Along with that vision of universal form, some fear has developed in Arjuna's mind, and that fear has not gone away. A lot of understanding, but Arjuna's mind is not big enough to understand Krishna. This is our own problem. That Arjuna's situation is also like that.
Ma devyadama cha vimudha bhavo drishtva rupam gauram idam mamedam.
And then Arjuna was trembling with fear and unable to speak anything properly. So Krishna has noticed this, and Krishna understood that all this fear is an activity of the mind. It's the mind that is causing all these problems. So unless we are able to come out of this, the mental problems related with the mind, like this kind of things, you cannot be stable in that position. After seeing Krishna in that universal form, Arjuna was not feeling the stability there. The mind was getting a bit shaken by that, and the mind was acting in its own way at that time. So in order to bring Arjuna back to it, Krishna says to them, give up that vimoham, vyamoham. Vyamoham means that duality feeling. Just like what we experience normally in this life is in Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, the soul is moving back and forth, isn't it? And in all these three states, what happens? It's only the duality of this world we are experiencing. I mentioned that before. For example, you sit down at home, put on your TV, watch your TV, a serial you are watching. You have identified with the serial so much. Let it be anything, Coronation Street or Brookside or this side or that side, whatever it is. You got involved in that. And then you are a part of that for some time, aren't you not? So that is how this mind is. You got absorbed in that. Go to bed, start sleeping, another serial starts inside. The second serial, mega serial starts there. So where is it, this mind, where is it getting from? We have fed it with so many things. That is what the mind is doing. So this has to go. Otherwise, unless these things goes away from the mind, you won't be able to hold on to that realized knowledge. What has been realized through the Shastram and Krishna's mercy. That won't go. That requires again Krishna's mercy there. Krishna's mercy is required. Otherwise it is not possible to come out of it. That is what Krishna is saying, that vimudha vyatha. Vyatha means that duality. Duality in us is very strong. That don't go away overnight like that. So sometimes you will notice, that is why when people, when great yogis, when they go into samadhi, in the beginning they will come back from samadhi back to the normal world again. First they get samadhi, they stay some time in samadhi for a certain number of hours, and from samadhi they come back. Eventually, after practicing it for a long period of time, they will move into samadhi once for all and no more coming back from that. That is how it is, that samadhi state comes. So our own situation is like that. Madhevya dama javimudha bhavo drishto arubam goryam idram mamedam vibheda bipridamana punastvam tadeva merubam idam pravashyaha. So here what has happened to Arjuna is like that, that the mind dualities has still not completely gone. Therefore, experiencing all this fear and trembling and also the all other emotions, what he was, there was no need for that, because Krishna has presented him. Arjuna has to realize that relationship and be situated in that. But unable to do that, why? Krishna says, I have to remove that from our mind. Because mind is such a funny thing, how mind can trap people various ways. I'll give you a small story before we finish that. The mind is causes all kinds of, it drives people in all directions, isn't it? Most of us, we are also driven by mind. Only thing is, somehow or the other it is under control, so it stays like this. But the moment, if you allow that, it's like a monkey waiting for the chance to escape. As soon as you allow that, he can drive you really crazy in this world. And sometimes, when it goes out of control, the monkey is in everybody. It's not only only the crazy people in the lunatic asylum. Monkey is within us also. Only thing is, our monkey is somehow staying under a little bit control. That monkey has lost the control. That's the only difference. So, Krishna, once it so happened, that a person who has, he got into this concept that he couldn't sleep at night. When he goes to bed, every night he felt that somebody is underneath the bed disturbing him. Somebody is underneath the bed disturbing him. So he couldn't sleep at night. There are many people like that who can't sleep at night because somebody is disturbing them in the mind. It's all in the mind, but he can't. So he see it is. So what he used to do was, as soon as he goes to bed, in 2 minutes he'll get up, put the light on, and come and have a look. And then, is anybody there at the bottom of the bed? He say, oh, it's nobody there. Go, puts the lights off, goes to sleep. As soon as he lie down, again the same thing repeats again. If you like this, the whole night is over. The sun comes in the morning, folds the bed, gets up, the sleep is over. So this was his life for a long, long time. And he said this to everyone at the home, in the family, that I'm suffering from this. What can I do? I don't know. So everybody comes and looked at the bottom. If there's anything, there's nobody. What can you do? The mind is saying like this. This carried on for a long time. So one day, it so happened that this person got up in the morning and looked very fresh, very fresh. So everyone was very... the neighbors came up to him and asked him, what happened? You look very good today. Did you sleep well last night? By then everybody knew his problem was like this, he couldn't sleep.
So they asked him, what happened? He says, the problem has been resolved, he says. So he said, they asked him, why, what happened? He said, oh, my uncle's son has come from somewhere, I don't know where it is, he came from where. And I told him the problem. So he sorted it out, he said. So the people asked him, oh, is he a doctor or something? He says, psychiatrist or whatever it is. He says, oh, no, he's not a psychiatrist or anything. He's just a carpenter, he says. So I said, what did he do? He came and cut all the four legs of the bed and put it on the floor. And he said, told me that there is no more space there for these devils to occupy. The mind is like that. If you don't give space for that, there won't be any sleeplessness at night. You will sleep properly. But the moment you give space for that, you will suffer. Therefore, please don't watch TV. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll talk next Sunday.